Sky Raider is a brute, a hulk, big, a bulky body, long, wide, straight wings, and just one powerful engine, the same engine used on the B-29 bomber. That big engine allowed the plane to carry freakish weapons loads, more than the World War II B-17 bomber, and four times the ordnance on the P-51 Mustang. Not all missions lasted this long, but the A-1 could stay aloft for as long as 10 hours, and thanks to those long, wide wings, could maneuver at low speeds. To protect the pilots, extra steel plating was added to the cockpit area. The Sky Raider was nicknamed the SPAD after the French World War I fighter that was flown by many American pilots. Eddie Rickenbacker became an ace and Medal of Honor recipient flying the SPAD over France and Germany. Sky Raider first established itself in combat in 1950 in the Korean War, attacking rail yards, factories, and protecting troops on the ground. Even with great pilots flying a great airplane, there are always losses, men and planes. In Korea, 128 A-1s and many crews were lost. Next came Vietnam. The Navy SPADs flew in the very first attack on North Vietnam, August 5, 1964, from aircraft carriers in the Tonkin Gulf. The targets were fuel depots at Vinh. The Air Force also flew the SPAD in various roles in Vietnam. They hunted truck convoys on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. They flew close air support and dramatic life-saving Sandy missions, they were called, flying cover for rescues of threatened and injured troops on the ground. Again, there were losses in Vietnam, 266 A-1 SPADs and 144 pilots were lost. The Navy's last Vietnam missions were in 1968. The Air Force continued to fly the SPAD until the war ended. The Sky Raider's retired now. Some say it was the most effective ground support aircraft ever. Two American aviators join us today. Both flew the SPAD in Southeast Asia. John Goldenbaum is a retired United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. He served 20 years active duty, including two tours in Vietnam, 608 combat hours. He earned numerous decorations, including the Distinguished Flying Cross, 11 Air Medals, and more. John commanded the famous 71st Tactical Fighter Squadron at Langley Air Force Base. As a civilian, he continues to use aviation to connect and work with at-risk young people. Last year, here at Warbirds, John shared his Vietnam SPAD experiences and joins us today to highlight another SPAD pilot's dramatic A-1 record in skies over Southeast Asia. He is Roger Youngblood, also a retired United States Air Force officer who served 24 years active duty. He logged 4,000 flight hours in 12 different types of aircraft. He is highly decorated with 48 Air Service Medals, including four Distinguished Flying Crosses and 4 Meritorious Service Medals. He was a program manager and a test pilot for the A-10-F-16 joint program, chief of air operations in Korea, and advisor to the United States Air Operations, Thailand. Roger and a fellow pilot saved 4 A-1 SPADs for history. One of those 4 planes currently airworthy in the United States is on the ramp today. Tail number 139606. Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm David Hartman. And please, oh my gosh, thank you. Thanks. Hi, everybody. Please welcome our guests, Roger Youngblood, Ken Holston, I'll introduce you to in just a moment, and Jay Goldenbaum. Jay, where are you? There's Jay down here that you just saw in the video. Gents, enjoy. So, hi, everybody. This is one of the most remarkable, dramatic stories of thousands of them, actually, from the Vietnam period. Ken Holston is an Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, retired also, highly decorated, has 187 combat missions, but they were flown later in Bosnia, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And Ken joins us. He flew six, which is 606, I can't tell. Here's 606. He flew this airplane in, so it would be here today. Ken, welcome to the trio.
Thanks, David. You know, the number one question we get about these airplanes and the history is, what were U.S. Air Force pilots doing flying propeller-driven, former Navy carrier-based attack airplanes in the jet age in a place called Vietnam? And to truly answer that question, you sort of have to take a step back in time and knock some rust off of some world geography and some history and go to the end of World War II. 1944-45, we'd won the war in Europe. We were taking the war to Japan and the home islands, and the B-29 Superfortress was a technological marvel of its day. And one of the key points that made that airplane possible was the development of the Wright 3350 engine. Now, the Pentagon, fearing that we would have to actually invade Japan, went to the Douglas Company, which made some superior airplanes like the DC-3 and the SBD Dauntless dive bomber. The Pentagon went to Douglas and said, hey, we love the Dauntless, but now that we have this new 3350 engine available and we might have to invade Japan.
Is that the engine, excuse me for interrupting, is that the same engine that we just heard about? That was on the B-29?
Exactly. Wow. So as we weave the story together, this is essentially the same basic engine that's on the B-29. And they said to Douglas, why don't we take that engine and build a successor to the Dauntless? We'll call it the Dauntless II. Douglas did that. They built a prototype, and it flew just a few months before the atomic bombs dropped and ended the war, preventing the need for that invasion. And the war ended, of course, with the dropping of the bombs. But the Pentagon liked the airplane so much, they put it into production. But instead of calling it Dauntless II, it became the Sky Raider. As World War II ended, of course, two of our allies, Russia and China, chose to follow a communist path and quickly became enemies in the start of the Cold War. And that Cold War lay dormant until the 50s started, and the heat began in a place called Korea.
And interestingly, it was similar to what happened later in Vietnam, split down the middle with North and South, just as North and South Vietnam, but it was Korea in the early 50s.
You're exactly right. Now, map is up on the Jumbotron there on the other side of the globe, if you just want to do a quick refresher of your world geography with, you see the Japan in between Russia and China. Korea is just to the left of that, so in the same neighborhood in Asia. And the Sky Raider was the primary ground attack airplane for the Navy and Marines, both flying off the ships and ground bases. Many of you may have seen a movie, a great color movie from the 50s called The Bridges at Toko Ri. While the stars of the movie were Grumman Panther jets, that's a little bit of a Hollywoodism. the real heroes of that movie or in the history books were the Sky Raiders that went in and actually took down those bridges. When that period of time ended, the Pentagon looked back and said, wow, we have worn out our Sky Raider fleet. And while we love the silver screen version, we would love to build more jets. The truth is, jets are not ready for prime time. They couldn't carry the load. They didn't have the fuel efficiency, and the metallurgy in the engines just didn't allow the lifespan of the engine like the good old SPAD. So the SPAD was put back into production, and several hundred more were built in a production run from 54 to 57, and our 606 here is a 1955 model. Into the 60s, President Kennedy, of course, was in the White House, and one of the pillars of our foreign policy at that point, you may remember, called the domino theory. That was a concern that if communism continued to try to spread its tentacles and knock down small countries one at a time, it could set a tumbling like dominoes and allow communism to spread.
Ken, it's interesting when we get to this period, sure, with the early 60s, we talk about this war as the Vietnam War, and yet there were many more countries involved than just the two Vietnams.
That's exactly right. And on the chart up there that we had earlier, when you zoom in on the area, we call it the Vietnam War, but it was really the Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand War.